You have your Bibles. Open up to Matthew 7. Now, this is one scripture that is widely, you know, I mean, it scares people, literally. I'm like, it keeps them from operating in the anointing, operating in and what God has called them to. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, and these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And then it goes on to say, now follow love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And the thing about it is that this scripture right here has kept a lot of people from actually pressing into what God wants them to do. It says here, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And then, now this passage is stemming from the first part of this. Jesus was talking about false prophets. Now, you know, there's been false prophets in his day. There's been false prophets before him. There's been false prophets after him. And still even today, there are false prophets. And then he goes on to say that you will know them by their fruit. See, our fruit should be good, right? If we are connected to Jesus and we are the branch and the fruit that we bear is good, and even if you're not bearing good fruit or if you're not bearing any fruit at all, he'll cut off those dead branches so that you can produce more fruit, good fruit. See, that's what a loving father does. This scripture should never, ever get you to the place to where you feel left out or you feel scared or what have you. This should embrace you. Why? Because not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Now, there was these guys, the seven sons of Sceva, they went around casting out demons in the name of the Jesus, the name that Paul uses, right? They didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. That's why those demons were able to overtake them and just run them off, because they didn't have a relationship. They didn't have the right to use that name. If you're born again, you have the right to use the name of Jesus. It is your name to use. Just like a police officer, you're able to use, you have that badge of authority. You went through an academy. You went through all that stuff. You're able to use that. If you go around impersonating an officer and you get caught, that's a lot of time. We're not impersonating believers here. You're a believer if you've given your life to Jesus. A good tree will bear what kind of fruit? Good fruit. Rotten trees will produce rotten fruit. That's kind of how it is. God wants you to produce good fruit because you are representing the kingdom of God. He wants you to produce good fruit. That doesn't mean that salvation is gained by good works, but he wants you bearing good fruit. See, and the thing is that Jesus has done all the work for you. It's not, the gospel isn't basically, I mean, people might think that the gospel is what Jesus has, what he's come to do for you, what he can do. The gospel really is what Jesus has already done for you. He's already done it. He's already saved you. He's already healed you. We have to receive that in our everyday life. He's already delivered you. All we have to do is accept it. Believe in his name. He's already done it. God knew that you were going to get into trouble. God knew that you were going to fail at this thing right here. That's why he wants you to do it with him. He wants you to put him first. He wants you to seek out his counsel. He wants you to pray about it and so that you're able to flow with him and he's able to flow with you. Verse 22, he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? They wanted Jesus to look at all the so-called good they have done. There's one pastor that talked about, was really just asking God, I mean, he has just a tender heart, and he asked, Lord, how can you turn people away? In that sense, he said, they lied. They lied about casting out demons. They lied about the miracles. They lied about, you know, prophesying in his name. They were lying. See, we don't want to ever get to the place where we're embellishing or lying on the things that God has called us to do. You don't have to impress anyone. If it didn't happen, it didn't happen. If it happened, awesome. But seven sons of Sceva, we cast you out in the name that Paul uses. Well, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? The demons didn't even identify him, because they knew they didn't belong to, he didn't belong to God. But see, Satan knows that you belong to Jesus. That's why you're attacked. Satan doesn't attack you because you're weak. He attacks you because you're strong. He attacks you because you're anointed. He attacks you because you walk in that power. You walk in that authority. If you're being attacked in any way, shape, or form, understand he can't overcome you. But to realize that if he has to gang up on you to come against you, you've got more power operating in you than you know. Satan is very, very prideful. He tried to take out God. He's not going to attack anything weak. Think about that. You're a lot stronger than you think. But in your weakness, this is when he is strong. I love it. And the Apostle Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians. I didn't give you that scripture. Don't worry about it. But that thorn in his flesh is this, you know, that's to be, excuse me. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, and people think, and you know, they interpret it as God gave him that thorn in the flesh, but it was a messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him, that was sent to club him, beat him down. That word buffet means to club with, to beat him down. Everywhere he went, there was hindrance there. There was people trying to stop him from preaching the gospel. I mean, the man got stoned by religious leaders and was left for dead, dragged out the city. Everywhere he went. But he understood this one thing right here. He asked God to take this away. Can you take this thorn in my flesh away? No. 3 times he asked, and God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So he had to allow himself to rest in the power of Christ. He couldn't do it in his own power. God doesn't want you doing it in your own power, because it's not going to accomplish anything, not much. He wants you to flow through him. He wants to flow through you. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Jesus, didn't we show up to church every Sunday and work in different areas of ministry? Didn't we remodel this? Didn't we remodel that? Just because you may not be prophesying, I said, having a true relationship with Jesus, you don't think he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, if you were to stand before him, if you never had a relationship with him? It doesn't have to be prophesying. It could be something else. They just went to their works because they didn't have a relationship with them. You have a relationship with them. Take advantage of that. You have insider information. Take advantage of that. God wants to help you. He's not withholding any good thing from you. He wants to help you. He wants to help you in your relationships. He wants to help you on your job so that you can be promoted to that next level. He wants you to have a big time influence in people's lives or what have you. He wants you to be that way because you're blessed to be a blessing. He wants you to have that. The world is always looking for answers. The church has the answer. You have the answer right here in your spirit. And all you have to do is pray that out. Lord, what is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to go? Who is it you want me to pray for? It's right here. If we just seek that out. Verse 23. He says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You have to truly belong to Jesus and know these things lawfully. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. In John 10, 14, he says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. Verse 27 says this, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. We don't follow another voice. If there's a voice out there that contradicts what you believe the Lord has spoken to you, do away with that voice. If it's your own voice, it could be the enemy or it could be someone else. Spirit will speak to spirit. Even if what I say don't line up with what God has told you, you go with what the Lord has told you, because I'm not God. Spirit will speak to spirit every time. People who are trying to manipulate or whatever the case, they'll hit here. They'll hit the mind. They'll play with the mind. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will speak to your spirit. You'll know right here. You'll know it. Hallelujah. Anyone who's having you do something illegal, underhanded, or trying to get you to usurp authority, these are not good works, regardless of how they spin it. And you got to understand, character matters. If your heart is right, then your actions will be right. We don't do for ourselves. We do for others. When we give with no strings attached. When you pray for people, it isn't, oh man, I just chalk one up. You get somebody born again or what have you, you preach the gospel, you share the gospel with them, is, man, how many did you get saved today? It's not a competition. And I've done that, but I mean, I wouldn't say I've done that. I've been in you know, at conferences and stuff, and man, how many are you running? How many are you doing this? How many? Doesn't matter. We're here to impact the kingdom. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, he is your shepherd, you have nothing to fear. Luke 17, people think, how should I respond to a miracle being done in my life? Thanksgiving and praise. I remember I was 3 years old. I got hit by a car. If this was in Summit, Mississippi. My mom, we were at a laundromat, and my mom was doing laundry. My dad was parked. He was legally blind in one eye, so he would back up into parking spaces. He had a big old truck. He had my brother in the seat, in the car seat. And so he was watching him, and then my mom went across the street to go get some detergent. Well, I was playing with a little kid out there and see my mom go across the street. I said, Mom, I remember saying this, bring me back a Pepsi. And I went out in between another car and another car. And the cop car didn't see me, hit me. Went flying about 30 feet, knocked me out of my shoes. My dad saw all of it. So I'm in the hospital, got stitches all right here. They thought my lungs had went up into my heart, broke 3 ribs, broke my leg in 3 places. Doctors said I would never walk, or I wouldn't say never walk, but never play sports and all that stuff. So I had a cast all the way from my ankle to my hip. And I remember we took the cast off one day. My brother, it was just itching, you know. And there's those nasty plaster ones back in 1978, you know. And I took the cast off, but I was still walking as if I had the cast on, because it wasn't normal. And I remember my mom began shouting, because when I walked one day, it was like I was walking with my heel up like normal. And that was a miracle, because they said I wouldn't be able to do that. She began shouting, freaked me out. She began shouting. She began praising God. Why? There was a miracle. Not the fact that I was awake. See, when I got hit, my dad went down. They said, don't touch him. Leave him alone. He didn't listen to that voice. He listened to the Holy Spirit. Picked me up, began praying over me. I coughed up all that blood that was in me. Then he put me back down. My dad didn't listen to people very well, but he listened to the Lord. And see, and that's the thing. You're not always going to please everyone when you're listening to what God is telling you to do. Because you're going to have to be able to go against the grain. It's not going to be the popular decision. Well, needless to say, how old am I? Almost 50? That ain't right. 46 years later, we're still rolling. Almost 50, good Lord. I hope I don't go in depression. Good night. You see me on a motorcycle, don't you? You know why? That's why. Midlife. Be bopping around, huh? With the disc man on, that's funny. But Luke, where we at in Luke? It says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. They stood afar off because they were unclean. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, have compassion on us. Remember the last leper in Matthew chapter 8, it says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, I understand throughout the scriptures, there's a few instances where people were sick, where Paul left Trophimus sick and ill. I said, those are their own personal things, but you got to understand that didn't come from God. Everyone's responsible for their own faith and how they're believing the Lord. And let me help you out. You have the same faith as Jesus. And he created this world. All things were created by him and for him. And you have that same faith operating in you. God has given you the measure of faith. Think about that. Look what he was able to do. That's why he says, the works that I do shall you do. And you will do even greater. Can't leave that out. Think about that. The same faith that Jesus walked on this earth and operated in, you have it too. But you know what? We get to all that doubt and unbelief. We got to weed through it. We got to till it out, get it out of our hearts. There's no way God can use me because I used to be this way. I used to do that. And there's no way. Listen, you're going to have to get out of that. That's not the way God sees you. He's looking at your spirit. He's looking at your heart. And as Jesus is, so are we. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Faith has to be put into action with the word of the Lord. If Jesus told you to march around this church and you would receive your healing, how many would be able to do that? You hear the Spirit of God say, get up and walk around the sanctuary. Walk around this auditorium 7 times. Who would be able to do that? And who would be like, oh no, that would be embarrassing. Everybody's going to be looking at me. And see, we get caught up in that. If we want to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to be able to deny ourselves. Has God ever told you to do something weird that just didn't make sense and yet it happened? What you were believing for? Whatever he speaks to your spirit, get after it. Act on it. You have to act on his word. what he's spoken to you, just like that. Don't even hesitate. Someone tries to stop you, give them a stiff arm. In a loving way. They may not understand it, but what you're believing the Lord for, what you've been going through, what you've been praying to God about and seeking his face or what have you, and he has you to do something that may not be popular, but it's going to bring the result that he said he will bring because of the fact is that you've placed your trust in him. God's ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. All right, all right. Fix your eyes on Jesus because he is the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can deliver you. He's the only one that loves you enough to tell you the truth. Verse 15, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. So as Jesus sent them away, one person out of the 10 came back and glorified God. How do you respond to a miracle? You glorify God and you give him thanks. Lord, I thank you. Even when you prayed for something and you believe that you received it, Lord, I thank you that I received what I prayed for, what I'm believing you for. Thank you. And you don't back down, no matter what the circumstances are. You don't ever back down from his word. Well, maybe this will be, we start to rationalize and reason out the word of God. And then it doesn't produce what he said he would do. And then people get mad at God over that. Does God want you to have a good marriage? Amen. That's part of that abundant life. The thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, destroy. Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. To the full, till it overflows. And just at the sound of my voice right now, women, wives, pray over your husbands right now. Pray over your husbands right now. Seriously, like turn to them, pray over them right now. Speak life into them. Yes, that's you. Pray over me. Speak life into them. Encourage them. You are his helper. So the plans that God has for your family, for your household, that comes through him, through both of y'all. And the enemy wants nothing more than to get in between and destroy that. Don't give him any place at all. When you're mad at him, pray over him. And that prayer might be angry at the first, but at the end, it'll just transgress into something that is so far better. Lord, I needed that, and he needed that. Hallelujah. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. You know, so Jesus answered and said, they're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? One came back, the other ones, well, they were all cleansed. They didn't give him thanks. God will still heal you, but they didn't respect it and honor Jesus. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Please, don't allow people who just knew Jesus and you've been knowing Jesus for 20 plus years. Don't allow somebody to outpraise him, out give him thanks, out to give him thanks more so than you. You know him. You have that relationship with him. How is somebody going to praise God better than you? It's not a competition. I'm just saying. They shouldn't. They shouldn't. All creation cries out to God. I'm not going to let some animal give glory to God better than me. And I'm created in his image. So I threw up my hands and praise you again and again. We can't be afraid to lift our hands. I want men everywhere lifting up holy hands. Unashamed. Surrendered to God. He says, he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you what? Remember that? What does your faith make you do? What does your faith do for you? Does your faith make you well? It's your faith. The same faith that Jesus has. What does your faith do for you? Jesus' faith cursed the tree. It dried up because there was no figs on it. And then he gives them the formula. He gives them the answer. How were you able to do this? He says, have faith in God. Mark 11. He says, and Jesus replied and said to them, have faith in God. How? How many times? How often? Constantly. You don't back off. You ever been constant or persistent in something? You don't back off. And Jesus replied and said, have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes what he says will take place. It will be what? You got to believe. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will what? You will get it. Take some time right here. What are you willing to ask God? And it says this, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him or her and let it drop, leave it, let it go, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. Forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. So your Father in heaven can forgive you. Why allow someone else's offense stop the blessing and the flow in your life? Because you might be harboring unforgiveness. Let it go. Forgive. Some people forgive a lot quicker than others. Forgive. Nobody said you have to be best friends with them, but forgive from the heart. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings or shortcomings. I'm going to let everyone know here, you're going to miss it from here to next week. You may miss it. And when you ask God to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, you better make sure you've forgiven someone else. It's not worth holding on to. Who was it? There's a saying here. Come on, go on up. Go on up. Lewis Smeeds said, forgiveness chooses to set the prisoner free. But as you grow wiser, you learn the prisoner you set free was really yourself. One thing is for sure. The word of God will never fail from operating in your life. So that's why the enemy will send attacks at you, get you drowsy, get you tired so that you won't read the word, you won't spend any time with God. The thing is he's defeated. He's just that annoying little devil. He can't whoop you because he's already under your feet. Bless you. So what are you believing for? Sometimes we can get afraid, be afraid to ask because we don't think God is going to do it. You have the same faith as Jesus. If you don't need anything and just want to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, that's even better. Hallelujah. Is anyone needing healing today? Everybody's healed. You, sir? What's wrong with you? Hurts right now? Well, we speak to that soreness right now in the name of Jesus. We command that shoulder to be healed. That there are no torn ligaments in any way, shape, or form. We thank you, Lord. We speak healing. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Your arm? Come here. What's wrong with it? Partially torn?
Yeah.
Okay. You believe Jesus can heal it?
Yeah.
Does it hurt right now?
No.
No? Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak to this arm, Lord, and we command it to be healed right now. In the name of Jesus. Ligaments, we command you to be healed and restored back to normal, better than ever. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for strength, full mobility in that arm in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being brave. That was awesome. Before, they never would talk. We're growing on them, y'all. Hallelujah. Anyone else? How's your back? Still good? Amen. God is good. All the time and all the time. There's never a time that God isn't good. His judgment is good. His faithfulness is good. His word is good. He's a good father. Tom, you good? Okay. Got to make sure. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Do we need a clock on you?
What? It's not about me, but I heard a testimony about a street preacher, young man, and he was evangelizing on the street, and he came across this young man on a college campus, and he's walking her, and he tried to share Jesus with him, and this young man says, "I'm an atheist." He said, "I do not believe in God, and there's nothing you can do to change my mind." So I shared this with Marlene the other day, and she said, "You need to tell people about this. That's testimony." So the guy said, there's nothing I can say or do to get you to change your mind. He said, no. He said, well, can I pray for you for anything? And he goes, nope. He said, the only thing, he said, there's nothing you would believe to change your mind. He said, the only thing you could pray for is that my mom would call me and apologize for what she did. And he said, well, you got to explain the story to me. And he said, well, when I was 8 years old, my mom left me and my siblings. And if she called, would call and apologize to me, then I might believe. And the guy says, okay, we're going to pray. So he started praying right there. And he was going to try to make the prayer short. He was giving God a chance to work. You know, he's leading that prayer longer and longer. But when he got finished praying, he said, in Jesus' name. And then the young man looked down at his phone. He said, I can't believe it. He said, my mom's calling me. And he said, well, answer. And he goes, he said, no, answer. So he answered the phone. His mom said, son, I'm sorry for what happened. And he said, mom, I can't talk to you right now. And he hung up on her. He got down on his knees and raised his hands and accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He got back on the phone. He called his mom and he said, mom, I'm sorry I hung up on you, but I just gave my life to Jesus. And she says, son, that's so good. She said, 4 days ago, I did the same thing. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. That was good. That's awesome. Isn't God good? Man, y'all stand. Stand, stand. Hallelujah.
Father God, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for everyone here, Lord. We thank you for the ones that have kids going to school and for the teachers too. We just pray. We speak life over them and protection over them in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for them being able to impact their lives, Lord. And we thank you for filling this church with the young people, families that have kids upon kids upon kids, Lord. And we thank you. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You guys have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.